like to share the word with you that I call the moving power of a person, a person's moving power. Today I'd like to talk about a unique moment in my life. Some people don't understand me and they say, why is he preaching so impertinently? He was probably hurt by religion in his childhood. You've heard something like this. Oh, let's wait till the brother will get healed and he will become a normal person. People are praying for me, for God to heal my wounds of the soul made by the religion, for me to stop to shoot at those people, for me to stop attacking, doing something against them in this life. But now, let me bring before you something like this. Do you know who is the mostly hurt women on the... Yeah, it was Jesus Christ. He was the most hurt person, the sickest person was Jesus Christ. Do you know this? You know, because he was hurting every time he was meeting the system of slavery. He couldn't do, he was attacking it. He was doing all kind of things against this system. And sometimes you hear these words, we'll wait till the brother gets healed. But today I'd like to talk to you about what does it mean, pain. What does pain mean? What is a person moved by pain? Who is a person who is moved by jealousy, moved by something? You understand that it's impossible to move if there is no a motor, an engine. And today, my friends, I want to talk to you about what is my motor. What makes me hurt? What makes me a person with a pain, with wound? Why am I doing all these things? Why am I doing all these things, saying these things? I want to answer today all those who watch me, who hear me, and once and forever to make them understand what is a wound, what is a pain. And today I will be reading from the Bible several moments, and all the Bible was written by people who were disappointed people. Oh, you are now watching calmly at me, but today I'm going to prove you this. I'm never starting if I'm not going to end something. What is a moving power of a person? It's a person who is moved by something in his life. It means that you can't get up in the morning and start doing something if you don't have a motor. The motor for you going to work, it's your paycheck, it's your salary. You've got a lack, the bills, you have to pay for your car, for this, for that, and now your motor is this, and you're getting up and going to work. And when you get up and go to work, you say, if I don't go to work, then soon I won't have this house. And you're right, this is your motor. What is the motor of a person who is chosen by God? Today I would like to answer these questions. Do you know that Jesus, he was the person who couldn't agree with everything he saw around. It wasn't according to the word and how God revealed to him the truth. There was a moment in the life of Jesus when he came to the temple and he bit what to do. Yeah, he came to the temple. He saw something. And let's read this place. It's John chapter 2, verse 13. Let's open John chapter 2, verse 13. And the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who were selling oxen and sheep and doves, and the money changers seated, and he made a scourge of cords and drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen, and he poured out the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who were selling the doves he said, take these things away, stop making my father's house a house of merchandise. His disciples remembered that it was written, zeal for thy house will consume me. Zeal, jealousy. He was moved by jealousy, by zeal. there was something that displeased him, and he wanted to correct this. Do you have zeal in your life? Do you have a pain? If you don't have, then you are a person without a motor. You are a car who will never be driving. Do you know why the people are weak? Do you know why they can't fast for 3 days? You know why they can't preach, pray, why they can't move, witness, testify? Because they don't have a motor. Every time he gets up and he can't even read the Bible. Why? He doesn't have the motor. He doesn't have a purpose to read for. He doesn't have a place to go to. He doesn't hurt. But Jesus was a person who... He was a thorn for all those Pharisees and religious people. No matter where he goes, he was establishing his own order. He was 13 years old, and he was putting things in order in the temple because he had the pain. He couldn't look at the things calmly without doing anything. And I want you to understand that all the Bible is written by people who had a great pain, and they had a great zeal for that job the Lord called him to. And that's why I'm thankful to God for what he took me through, and now I'm able to do what I didn't do before. And if I listen to me carefully, if I will lose my zeal and that pain that was in my life, I will lose all my ministry, because it's based on what I have seen, heard, and understood. I want you to understand this. Don't make things worse. Don't make things too bad. My dear, the church turned into nothing. And I know that on this earth, there are several people who care about the fate of the church and of this nation and of these people. Someone cares for the death because of the overdose from drugs. Someone cares because of the suicides and murders and the death of our generation. And I know that it's impossible to move if you don't have zeal. The disciples couldn't understand such a good Jesus who wouldn't break a little branch, and he hit them all. It's written, love your enemies, and here we see Jesus so angry, the anointing came upon him. Amen. You know, in the world, people understand these things long ago. I know people. I was watching a Discovery program. They were showing a doctor, medical doctor, who is specializing in cancer tumors. This person reached such heights. He opened so many discoveries. He discovered so many things in this area because of his discoveries in the area of cancer. Thousands and thousands of lives were saved. When this program was over, I was enjoying this program. He was showing how he did this machine, how he created these pills and that, and I'm enjoying this. Tons of people were rescued. Of course, we believe in healing, but what to do for those who don't have healing, who don't have faith? God is giving them revelations and medicine, and this way the life is preserved. And the most interesting is that when the program was over, at the very end, he gave a little interview. He was asked, what made you do all these things? He said, when I was a child, when I was a little boy, teenager, that I had a father, we loved each other, we were together. And in one moment, cancer took my father away from me. And he said, and I dedicated all of my life, I promised to everybody that I will fight and I will be destroying this disease. He is an unbeliever, he doesn't have anything in common with God, but his zeal and his pain is saving thousands of people. You hear me? I've seen men who lost their feet in the childhood. They only had the body, no legs, and they were told that you are nobody and nothing will work out in your life. And the most interesting, that this person I was watching, I was watching a program, he became the golden medal winner in wheelchair sports. Yeah, he did the all the invalids, they have their own wheelchair, and he became a champion in his area. And you know, he became a famous person, and he even wrote a book. I was watching the lives of these people, and what they were moved by, they were all moved by pain. It is impossible to reach anything if your life is not moved by some kind of a pain or some kind of a lack. When everything's okay in your life, this is where the problem lies. And God forbid I will become a normal person. God forbid I will calm down and stop. It means that I will be like everyone else and all of my ministry will stop. Why do we know of such great people like Jesus, like the disciples of Jesus? They were all moved by pain. You're looking at Paul and you're amazed, how could this man, his even death couldn't take him, couldn't overcome him, real death, the snakes bite him, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked in prisons, and he was beaten, he described his life, you get shocked. What made him get up and go? The painful people of Israel. We're reading that he had such great pain. He said, I'm even almost ready to be separated from the Church of Christ for my people to be saved. And you will say, why was Paul strong? Because he had a terrible pain and wound and zeal. Amen. Oh, my friends, my dream is to touch your heart, is to find those who have hunger, who have a pain, who will get this dream and will say, I'm not going to live on this earth just like that. I want to see the glory of Jesus in my life. Amen. And then we are surprised. They start thousands of churches and you don't know anything about them. Why? Because these churches started with no pain. There was nothing that God said, or just jealousy came and Holy Spirit told you move. They just decided to open another church. We'll talk today about the moving power of a person. What is it? What is that? It means that I have a motor. What about you? Do you have a motor inside of you? Or you're just sitting and you're listening to the next sermon of the pastor to compare with the previous sermon. Oh, this one was cooler, or the previous one was cooler. I'm not here just to shout, to waste my strength, my voice. I just want you to understand. People are telling me, this is your problem, this is pain, this is... But I'm saying this is the strongest aspect of me and my ministry. This is the basic truth that my movement is based on. Take this pain away from me and I'm nobody. Yes, I was hurt. Yes, all the people who received, even in 1992, all the spiritual baptism, all these children who received, they were forced to refuse to blaspheme what they received, and I was blown. I was blown. I exploded because of that. Because all of these children, they are in the world, they don't believe in God. They refused the Holy Spirit baptism, not because they wanted. No, their pastors told them to deny this, reject this, and against their will, they blasphemed God, and they cursed the day when they received the Holy Spirit baptism. Now their life is terrible. I don't even know where they are right now. Oh, Jesus. Yes, I have a pain. Yes. Some people say, oh, he's fighting against us. I don't even know your name. I'm fighting with the system. With the system. Amen. This is a shame to fight against a little church. This is very cheap. You understand what I'm talking about? A little pastor. Here, hit. Oh, Шаповаловис, кака, Шаповаловис, кака. We are fighting against the system. People are in the system. Okay, you spit on one of them, but there are thousands. We are going against a monster. We are going there where he is really bound. And our fight is not against flesh and blood. Some people don't understand this. I'm sorry. Oh, he called me names. Somebody in the... Me, you... you're living some kind of yeah, it's hard to translate this crap of a fly village. Yeah, when I hate Lenin, I hate communism. When I speak about Lenin, when I say Lenin and the Communist Party is evil and from the devil, and of course communists will say shoot him because he's spitting at us. I hate the system. I hate the system of slavery. I hate the system that you don't have your own opinion. I hate this. You are created with your own will to choose. Use it at least once in your life. Think of what you like, what you don't like, where you want to go, where you don't want to go. Be the master of your destiny. This is my message. Yes, I'm wounded. They don't like. But I like my pain. Why? Because this is my life. This is my revelation. Those people would never be saved if not that doctor whose father died and he said, I hated cancer to that extent that I went and I learned in all these possible schools. I got a degree and he became the first person in this area. Why? Because of the pain, my dear friends. The pain. If you are not moved by anything, you don't exist as a person. You're simply a man who lives under somebody's system. Remember this. Either you're a free man who is the master of his own life, or you're the second. And you're like a zombie under that system. Try to do what you want. You will see immediately the power of that system. You'll immediately see the system who will rise against you. Do you hear me? The system who will rise against you. Amen. Let's start it. Let's start reading about sick people. Do you want me to do that? Let's read about the invalids of the Bible. Amen. Let's start. The first invalid is Jesus Christ. Okay, clearly, all of his life was based upon pain. Most interesting that Jesus never got rid of his wound of the soul. Okay, the sickest person is God. He was so sick that he gave his own son. Will I hear an amen? Amen. I'm telling you the truth. God, he was so sick with you and me. He loved so much you and me that he didn't want to give us to the devil, and he took his own son and he gave to death for you and for me. Why? Because God got sick in heaven. He was painful. He was zealous that somebody stole his children. Oh, jealousy. It's a motor. My pain is the meaning of my life. This is why people get healed, because I'm speaking about this. This is why people agree with me. Something got healed inside of them that was destroyed in their life. This boy had lost his father, and he said, I will make thousands live. Yes, I was wounded, but now I will be healing these wounds. I will be helping people to get rid of these wounds. I will protect, I will defend, I will stay in the breach. This is the most important aspect of my life. Your life should be based on jealousy towards something. Where do you pain? What moves you? Where do you hurt? When you wake up in the morning, if you are not moved by anything, this is the most terrible state of a Christian. If there is nothing to get you up from your bed and to make you move, to make you pray, to make you fast, to make you testify, witness, and preach, I'm sorry for you. You're a pitiful person. Let's start about invalids in the Bible, the first one. We talked about the father and the son. Let's go to the Gideon. You remember Gideon? We all remember Gideon. How can... Yeah, he was the most hurt. He had concussion. He was... He was very angry. Let's read about a sick Gideon who didn't get his healing, but God used him. Yeah, for this very purpose, for this very reason that he had pain. 6:11. 6:11, Judges. Judges 6:11. Judges 6:11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak that was in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abizrite, and his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the wine press in order to save it from Midianites. And the angels of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O violent warrior." Then Gideon said to him, "O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord said, "Finally, I found a sick person." And the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength." What strength? What kind of strength? The person just cursed everything in this world. He expressed his pain, his hatred, and he said, "God abandoned us." And God said, "This is your strength." What? And the truth is that the ministry and the victory of Gideon was based upon his hatred and his pain towards the devouring enemies. You hear me? Oh, it's interesting. This is interesting sickness. Oh, I want to get sick too. Because God is using sick people. God is using those people who care for the deaths of fates of the dying people. God is looking for those people who really care, and I believe that there are people who really care. Somebody will say, "I want to reach something in this life. I want to see the victory of my God. I am ashamed for our churches who are blasphemed with their lives, my God." It's written that my name is blasphemed because of you. My name is blasphemed, Jesus says, because of you. Because people looking at you, they see a dead, paralyzed God. They don't see the power and the glory. Rip off your car all the Christian stickers. You're not a Christian. You're a fake. You're a cheap fake. Oh. I love you all. In spite of everything. I just live the truth more. When you break all the laws on your car, it's not you who is blasphemed, but that fish and that sticker on your bumper. Become the one you are talking about. Become that person you're dreaming about. If you can't do that, don't bring shame to the name of the Lord. If you say that you are a believer, then you should be followed by signs. We should become frank. We should become honest. At least once in life, we need to say, "Father, open to me your heart." The person starts moving in God and saving soul. When God reveals his pain to you, Jesus has to reveal to you his heart, how he cares for the dying souls. And believe me, all the world is in evil, and somebody needs to do the work of Jesus Christ. You know, "Oh Lord, how..." He said, where are all the miracles which our fathers told us about? He had this pain, and he was called a strong man. He laughed. "Am I strong? The Lord took us out of Egypt and then abandoned." He was saying the truth. He had a great hatred towards the enemy. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" And this painful Gideon destroyed them all. They were stealing. God, with 300 people, God gave them such a victory. They were hungry, hungry people. You're hungry. And all those men who were licking the water like dogs, We'll see who is hungry. We'll check who is really hungry. And these 300 hungry men, take them and them all, the others send them home. And these 300 men without no swords, with some kind of torches and some kind of flutes, they destroy the enemy. Sometimes I think I have to graduate from the Bible school, go to the television, all the television. But all that you need is a flute, because the Lord says that all this flute, you will kill them all to death. And they will kill each other. They will slaughter each other. They were blowing in their flutes, and the enemies were killing each other. And Joshua, another person moved by pain. This is our milk and our honey. This is the promised land. This land was promised to us. I don't know what are all these giants doing here. Our bees are making noises there. Our honey and our milk, they're all ours in that land. Let's go and kill them all. The Lord told them, I will show you the first victory, how I am doing. What did they do? They blew the enemy to the death, Jericho. All the walls came, fell down upon them. That's why, my dear, God is using the most strange methods for the victory of His kingdom. The strangest methods in the Bible. Moses raised his hand, victory. He let his hands down, no victory, defeat. But it all depended on the one Moses. Oh, Jesus, the victory sometimes is one very strangely. Go in your strength and rescue Israel, deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you? He hated. His hatred to slavery became his strength, my friends. Lenin realized this. The church will ever understand it? Will it ever understand? There was someone in Shushinskaya, Lenin. You know what I'm talking about. And he was tired of the tsar, of the king. And one person knocked with his hatred, with his hunger, and now everything is destroyed in Russia. If a person with demons can do this, listen carefully to change the history of a nation, and not just to open us a store, Lenin store. He made all the nation Lenins. Do you want this or you don't want? You were only born and they put the sticker on you. The young Leninist. And we were born into the system of a person who hated. Yes, he did what the devil did, but it was him who did it. It's not the devil in the mausoleum on the Red Square. Lenin. He is getting dried, but he is still lying there. Laying there. Mausoleum. Let's read about another invalid. Did you like Gideon the invalid? Okay. Power. Strength. The Bible is full of invalids. The greatest people who reached anything in the Bible, they're all invalids. He has a concussion. Religion has hit him. You remember Hannah? There was such a woman, wonderful woman. She had a husband. They served the Lord. They loved the Lord. And she was sick. She had a pain in her life. Let's read First Book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 4. First Book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 4. And when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters, but to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord, what was, the Lord closed her womb. My friends, who closed the womb? It's interesting. The pain in her life was brought by God. Why? Because God needs someone who will pray something out. We are looking at this Penina. She had children like kittens from a cat. Sons and daughters, they were coming out. in groups, in packages. Do we know anything about her children? And we will never find out about her children. Do you know anything about Samuel? Oh, ho, ho. A person who turned the history of the whole nation. It's written that Samuel brought the whole Israel to God. Because in the time of Eli and his two adulterous sons, all the people left God because they turned people's heart from sacrificing, you know, the story. And now God created an invalid so that later on the soil of pain and passion and thirst and zeal, Samuel was born. It wasn't just a simple man. It was a prophet who had the fire of the Holy Spirit in him. Let's say this. Let's consider Samuel. This is your and my ministry. When you get something easily, you can start 10 churches. They won't be successful. Why? Because they are not burned from pain. They're not born from pain. They don't have power. They were simply started. But there is someone that there are churches who are born from pain, from revelation, from where the great things are born. All the great things are born, are birthed from pain and from need. But to Hannah he would give a double portion for Hilah Hannah. But the Lord had closed whom her rival, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. And it happened year after year. Can you imagine? That wasn't the pain of just 1 month. God allowed. You are irritated. You are... Because something great has to be born from you. Something has to completely irritate you, provoke you, and then to get sick. And then something great will be born out of you. Great revelations are built on this is God so loved the world that He gave. He felt such a pain for the humanity. Oh, maybe I will kill off these bugs. I'm telling you the truth. Oh, maybe I will save them. No, that was the greatest pain in the heart of God, because He gave birth to you and to me for Himself, and some kind of unclean things stole you and me from Him. And He sent His Son to destroy the devil so that you and I could serve Him. And I don't want to bring shame to the name of my God. I understand that a bunch of people will not understand me because they are not sick. Because the healthy people don't understand the sick people. Why is he shouting? Whenever I turn the TV on, Shapovalov is shouting, wah, wah. But you'll hear me. Anyway, even the speakers are not working, you'll hear me. Everything's okay. Because there is a pain, because there is a hatred. Because somebody called the church a bunch of dead people. Somebody called some paralyzed people alive. This is what I don't like. This is what I'm moved by. When they call the devil God and they call God the devil. This is what is my pain. I don't like this. Let's move on. And it happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. The Lord will allow this for you to be stinged until you say, I'm tired of this, I need to do something. Where is your God now? Where is your God now? Why are you drinking? Why are you drinking pills? God should heal you. Sometimes they provoke Christians. I want you to be completely provoked one day, for you to kneel down and say, God, where are you? Come to my life, because I'm a fake. I can't share about you because I don't know you or Jesus. Then Elkanah, so she wept and would not eat, and Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, the smartest phrase, Hannah, why do you weep and why do you not eat? Are you crazy? Year after year, she is crying, she is in pain, she is suffering, she is dying. Why do you not eat, Hannah? You know, sometimes there are smart husbands. I love you. You, my brother, don't understand what I'm talking about. You don't know where it hurts. It hurts here. Everything's okay. I have a house, I have a wife, I have children. But I hurt here for generation. God is raising up those who hurt for their generation. I'm not called here to feed you. I'm called here to irritate, to provoke you, and to raise you up as an army of Christ. Look. Why do you weep, and why you don't eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? He missed it. Why are you tormenting yourself? I love you. My brother, you were born without no pain. I want something that I don't have. I want something that I don't have. I've got the pain. You, my brother, will not satisfy it. Your sex, your candies, restaurants, flowers, they will not satisfy my hungry heart. I've got a hole inside of me. I don't have a son. You understand what I'm talking about? No matter what you do to Hannah, she was sick. She had a pain that nobody could satisfy except for God. This is I'm talking about. This is the pain I'm talking about. This is a moving power of a person. Amen? Let's see. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Anna realized that the talk is over. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat, and Hannah rose. It talks about that's it. Something will start moving now. She was hit completely. Oh, you don't have any children, and now already I have the triplets. And when she realized that her husband is the same, she rose up and she went. She said, Amen. Everything is over with this family. I'm not talking to you anymore. And she went where God was calling her to that place where the prayers are answered. Then Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord, and she greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord, and wept bitterly. This is what makes a person to move. This is what moved Hannah. And she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant and son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and the razor shall never come on his rail. She didn't say, oh, at least something, maybe an invalid, a down, maybe a kitten. She said, no, to take a real man, and I will give him to you. And the Lord said, ooh, gifts, presents. The Lord said, okay, you know why the Lord needed? Do you understand what I'm talking about? There are a couple of people. Out of pain, something great is born. Tell me, how was John the Baptist born when the pain was so big that these both people, they gave up? They said, we can't have children anymore. It's too... The offer is too big. And then the Lord gives out of pain again. Look...
Господи, само если ты презришь наскорбь рабы твои, и вспомнишь обо мне, и не забудешь рабы твои, и дашь твоей рабе твоей дитя мужеского пола, то я отдам Господу.
I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Anna, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard, so Eli thought she was drunk. My friends, healthy people don't understand the sick people. You can pray, you can tear your clothes apart, and the pastor will come and say, why are you so distressed sometimes? Children lead churches who have no pain. This is the most terrible thing. You come to church to pray, and the pastor doesn't understand you. Oh, my friends, do you know what I'm thanking God about for pain? Because when this doesn't understand me, that one will understand me. The one who is moved by pain, by passion, and by jealousy. This is my motor. This is your motor. If you don't have any motor, then we're not going anywhere. The life is not moving anywhere. You are nobody in a spiritual world. You'll reach some kind of small things, but if you really want to do something great, you've got to be hit very badly. You've got to be wounded very badly. I remember in the night, 2 o'clock in the night, in the morning, I finished the sermon, and I hit my finger, and you don't need coffee, Red Bull, immediately everything is clear in your mind. You understand me? Sometimes you need pain to wake up. I had such emotions when somebody would catch my fingers at the door, at the car's door. Some of you understand me, what is this? When your fingers are caught in the door of the car, you will immediately get emotions. And this wise servant of the Lord didn't understand that she was praying, because he never saw hungry people praying. Oh, yeah, a drunk person came here, a drunk woman came here, oh, they drunk, and another wise man came. She just got rid of her husband, and now the pastor came. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Anna, she was speaking in her heart, only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard, so Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. Put away your wine from you. But Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I am oppressed in my spirit. I have a pain in my spirit. Don't you see? The person tells her, don't drink. I'm not drinking. No, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have not drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Is there someone here who hears me? Amen? My friends, the moving power of a person. This is something that this is where it hurts. This is where nobody can heal except for God. This is the faith that hurts so much that not kind of logical statements, not kind of nothing will help except for God, because it hurts. Oh, Jesus, how much I want for an army of sick people to get up. Who doesn't have a pain? Never. The one who doesn't have a pain will never understand the one who hurts. Why you don't sleep? Why are you on the bed? Why you can't? Why are you shouting? Why do you fast? Why do you pray? Who needs this? Stop. No, it hurts. I can't stop. Let's wait till the pain goes away. No, it won't go away until I get what I'm praying for. Let's read on about another invalid. I'm sure it's enough invalids, but I will read about another invalid for you to understand. The Bible is written by invalids. is Esther. Esther, one of the greatest women ever that ever lived and people of Israel. Queen, you know that everything was okay in the life of Esther until Haman caught her fingers with a car door, and such a pain came into her life. You remember the story. The time is I can read on and on. Time is short. The Bible is written by invalids. Esther, everything was okay. She was a queen. Everything was cool. And when her uncle rose her up, read what all of your brothers and sisters got. And she read, and the date of death of all the people of Israel was appointed there. This feast, this holiday is a great holiday in the people of Israel up to this day, because in this day all the nation, all saved, in this day a simple girl, some kind of a boy, some kind of children who have pain, boys and girls who have pain will change thousands. If you knew what a power is this, the power of my pain. Esther, she read this letter. And she's telling her uncle, I can't go to the king. There is a law. Who is not invited to the king, he'll die. The only salvation of my life is the king. When the king was stretching out his scepter. And then the guards would not kill the one who would come. And she said, the pain was so big that she put her life in danger. And she came to the king, who didn't call for her for a long time. And when God opened the heart of the king, the pain of Esther saved the whole Israel. And I don't want to go on, because the Bible was simply based on the pain of the people who did something great. And we are looking at all the people who can do something now, because someone brought them to this state. Someone somewhere sacrificed something. Someone's finger was caught in the door and he had pain. And then we look at David, Samuel. There is a whole bunch of people. The whole army of Israel, Goliath, is blaspheming God and the king and everything. Until the moment when the sick person came to the field, David is coming with his loaves of bread. Oh, Goliath had to take a break time then. He had to go and relax a little bit. And now David heard these words. And when David was touched by this pain, he was really touched that his God is being blasphemed. He was hit by this great crowd of tens of thousands of warriors who don't do anything, and hearing these blasphemes on the God and his hosts, and he said, I'll kill him. And then he said, no, I won't just kill him, I'll kill them all. You understand me? Goliath said, I will cut your head and throw it to the birds. Oh no, I will take your head out and all of your heads and all your bodies will give to the birds. He wasn't joking. David wasn't joking. What was moving by him? The jealousy and the pain. He didn't like when somebody was saying anything about his God, the moving power of a person. Practically all the people who reached something great in their life, they were moved by pain. We're talking about conquerors, we're talking about doctors and sportsmen, about pastors and great prophets of the Bible. They all reached great things for one only reason. There was something that moved them, and it was the jealousy. And for this reason, my friends, if we all want to reach something in our life, you've got to have jealousy in that area where God is moving you. And you know, My time is out, but I believe that someone of you took something for himself today. I know, my friends, that there will be more people who won't be saying, oh, his pain will go out. We'll pray for Shapovalov and for the healing of his soul, and he will not be speaking about us religious people. We don't feel comfortable, my friends. This is not a pain against someone. This is a pain against slavery, against the system of slavery. This is the pain that gathers the same type of warriors. I'm not talking much. I'm doing more than I'm speaking. But I know that Jesus is looking for people with pain in their hearts. You know, why there are so few people in Christianity? There is a God's general here and there, few more people here and there, because there are very few people who are moved by the pain for the dying generation. We took our what we needed, and we go on living. But there is something. There are those people whose life changed something, who can't put apart something. You understand me? Those who've got a scar that even God doesn't heal, who have a hole in their heart, who nobody will calm down. They can't give me enough money for me to shut up. I don't need them. I won't go for compromise. I don't need to compromise. Somebody is trying to take me by friendship and calm me down. Someone is trying to accept me in their brotherhood union and to make me a pastor there. They offered me all kind of things, but I have a pain, church. I have something that I'm talking about. I have my own. I have my own type of speech, and I'm driving away everything that shouldn't be around me. But I'm speaking into the spirit. This is where the real movement happens. This is where the real deliverance and freedom of God. Christianity doesn't have power because Christianity doesn't have pain. Did you take anything for yourself? Let's stand up. You know what was the greatest day in my life? The happiest, when Jesus gave me a piece of his pain. He showed to me the dying generations that is going to hell, hundreds of thousands. And he told me, do you want to see the salvation of these people? I said, yes, Jesus. He said, then I'm taking you, and I will be using you. And when he showed me his life that later he took for himself, I only remember one thing. A great pain was in my heart. And this very pain is making me get up after the greatest defeats. I'm a man who never found a person who was defeated and who lost more than me. If you will show me, this will be a special person. I want to take an interview from him, how he survived. I'm thankful to God that he gave me this heart. Thankful to him so much that I've got a dream. Ask from him for a piece of his pain. I'm telling you honestly, this is the greatest treasure of a Christian, to have the heart of his God. This is the greatest treasure of a Christian, to see this world as Jesus sees it. This is the great gain, to see how Holy Spirit sees, because I start doing what Jesus did, because I see as Jesus saw. You will say, where can I see the pain? The most terrible pain, you know, is on the benches of religious churches. This is the most terrible pain. The second pain is when I walk on the beach, Alki beach. I see thousands, not just hundreds, thousands of dying. people go to a casino and look how destinies are destroyed there. Go to a bar, go to a disco and have a look there. Don't be afraid. The cigarette smoke will not defile your fluffy. Don't worry, God is with you. But me, I want to be moved by pain. I want to see the problem and I want to help. Therefore, stop praying for the healing of my spiritual wound, because I'm like Hannah. I continue crying. I want to get a son. I want the church, the real church. I want to see the army of Jesus Christ consisting out of strong leaders who will look at nothing and go forward and save this generation with no compromise. People who are impossible to buy, to convince, to stop. This is my dream. And I know that I'm not alone. Can you imagine how many more victories do we have ahead of us? Our life is just starting. Dear Jesus, I thank you. Just ask Him to see this world with His eyes. Father, please show us the world with your eyes. Please show us as you see it. Please help us see it. Many of us don't do anything. They have no power because we don't have pain. We don't have a motor. We don't have jealousy. We don't see with your eyes how the temple is defiled by sheep. And all these money changers and all these people who turn the temple into business. I'm asking you, please show us your heart. Give us, Lord, to see you. I thank you, my dear Lord, that you are raising us up. You are teaching us. You are leading us. Thank you, our beloved. Thank you, our beloved. Amen. I give glory to God.